You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one to date.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Everyone, and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast, looking ahead to the racing on Wednesday, the 1st of August. It's day two of Glorious Goodwood, day three of the Galway Festival, and plenty of supporting cards. Besides, it is a busy day of racing. Hopefully you can join us live on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon. Sam Norris here, joined in the studio by Andy Holdings to take a look at a couple of races on the programme at Goodwood on Wednesday. Andy, how are you?
Hello, Sam. Yeah, I'm all right, mate. Yeah, good. Not bad at all. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad at all. I was saying to someone on the podcast the other day, it's a great time of year.
It is.
Two big festivals running side by side.
This is probably my busiest week, really.
I can imagine,
other than Cheltenham. From an Irish punter's stroke pundit's perspective, you've got Galway as your main focal of attention, but then not forgetting Goodwood as well, which is the longest of the festivals, isn't it?
Mm.
Tuesday to Saturday. Oh, no, that's because Tuesday to Saturday, isn't it?
But yeah, of course, it's for the Royal Meeting.
But there's more races at Goodwood.
Yes.
You know, you get seven races a day, whereas Ascot's only six.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Although, compared to Galway, it's a real flash in the pan.
It is, yeah. And you know, there's obviously mixed racing over in Galway,
so
a bit for everyone. But no, it's a fantastic meeting. And we start on good to soft ground as well, a little bit of rain.
Yeah, because of course it was torrential conditions at Goodwood last year, which saw a surprise winner.
Yeah.
Was it the Sussex Stakes last year that Rube Chester got beaten?
Here comes now, wasn't it?
So a little bit of Bit of juice in the ground. Is there anything you're mad keen on later on in the week, Andy? Anything you're looking forward to running at either venue? Hard to know at Galway.
Yeah, I've backed a couple at Galway. I put them up last week, trying to get the prices before any imminent smashes in the market.
Yeah.
And I've backed Peregrine Run.
Okay.
Who had a nice spin on the flat the other day behind Wicklow Brave, Killarney. That alerted me straight away that they're preparing it for this. But he was third in the Grade 3 Novice Chase there last year behind Rathvinden.
Yeah.
So he's had a spin around Galway. These are the rules and the kind of like things I look for when I look at Galway. Something that's run there before and a trainer then targeting him the next year. So the fact that he ran it there last year as a novice, second season novice this year, which is another good thing. I mean, Balcon de Flow is a second season novice when he won it last year. And you know, he hardly ever runs a bad race. Peregrine Run, he's a Grade 2 winner over hurdles, so he's got a class angle with him. So I like him. And I've also backed last year's fourth, Slow Motion.
The JP McManus horse.
Yeah, she was 20-1 in the Antipost when they first opened it, which looked mad. I think she could be favourite. She's just got in by one, so that's good news. She was 24 on the card, but two needed to drop out, which have done. I think JP made sure that. Yeah, a couple dropped out there. Of course.
He's probably dropped a couple of his own ones out.
He wouldn't want to shoot himself in the foot.
No.
And she had a nice little prep the other day in the Grimes Hurdle behind Joey Sasser and Wicklow Brave.
Yeah.
2 miles round Tipperary would have been on the sharp side for her, and I thought she showed a good bit. And her four best runs in her life have all come on good to yielding ground.
Right. Okay.
Her bad runs have come when the ground's been really heavy.
Okay.
So I don't think there's any more rain in the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the news hot off the press as well is that the Galway Plate's going to be run at 7:20 tomorrow.
Yes.
Which is the first time I can ever remember it being an evening race.
Yeah,
she was around about 5:15. Apparently, because it was so, not poorly attended, but it was last year, I don't know if it was just one of those things, but it was the weakest attended of the whole week that day.
Really?
Galway
Plate Day. Blimey.
So you think Plate Day would be the best.
Yeah.
So they've nudged it to an evening card to allow more people to come in.
Right, okay, fair enough.
To get a bigger crowd, bigger atmosphere.
Yeah. More from Andy, of course, on the podcast tomorrow regarding Galway. Just before we move on to take a look at some of the Goodwood races, Quick word on Limini's reappearance yesterday, Andy, which took a lot of people by surprise to see that she was in. And then a lot of people thought, is that a great price running off a mark of 89 on the flat? Yeah. Is it a bad price? She's been off since the festival of 2017. And she ran okay, only to be, well, she ran better than okay, to be done by her stablemate.
Yeah, I mean, those are back to at 7-4, very short. Wouldn't want to hear this, but I think they were massively unlucky. I mean,
yeah,
you very rarely get a horse that beats the rest of the field by 10 lengths in a staying contest and doesn't win.
Yeah.
You know,
and she travelled like a bit she's
made a mockery of her own handicap mark of 89. It'd be interesting to see what the handicapper actually does with her, because the way she went through the race, I think she could win a very good flat handicap or even group three listed race straight away without even, you know, kind of over a mile and a quarter, over a mile and a half.
Right, okay.
She had that much speed.
Yeah.
She didn't get out stayed by the winner. She got out sprinted. The winner, amazingly, I've already done the sectionals, did 27-1 from the 2 furlong marker.
Blimey.
And the premier handicap winner over 7 furlongs, Premier League, he ran 27.9.
Right, okay.
So 0.8 seconds quicker than a 7 furlong sprinter.
Jeez.
And don't forget as well, amateur rider race, they were carrying over 10 stone.
Yeah, of course.
So you can just see how Urundale was trapping along.
Yeah.
It was good overall as well. The overall time was good for a Stancon. They've gone a good gallop. Azuri is owned by good friends of mine. I spoke to Marmo this morning, who owns the Blind Squirrel Partnership, and he said they've probably gone a bit too quick.
Right.
And they probably did. And it set it up for the finishers. But in saying that, they have come up, they have sprinted home. They haven't just like outstayed everything. They've really trapped along.
Yeah.
And they've come home like two quality horses.
Yeah. It was certainly a fascinating storyline on what is otherwise one of the more low-key days of the meeting.
Without doubt. And Aubrey McMahon's now won it. T is running it for the same owner.
Yeah, yeah.
Whiskey Sour won it last year.
Yeah.
And it'll also be very interesting to see what connections do with Urundale and how the handicapper reacts. He's 81 going into that race yesterday. On my figures, he's run to somewhere in the high 90s.
Right, okay.
I actually think he could win a pattern race. Okay. But the handicapper probably can't put him up any more than 7 or 8.
Yeah, sure.
If he came over here and ran in one of our handicaps, he'd wipe the floor.
Yeah.
Like, if he was mine, I would probably save him for something like the Cesarewitch.
Okay.
2 mile 2, flat track at Newmarket, with a good emphasis on stamina. Very little trouble in running. You don't get many hard luck stories at Newmarket. So you're only really undone by the draw if you're drawn 30-odd or over 25. I'm not sure there's that many Irish flat races for him. You've got the Irish, Cesarewitch and November handicap towards the back in the year. But there's not that many in between two-mile races. By the looks of his profile, he's best fresh as well.
Okay.
That was his first run for over 1,000 days in the flat. Yes, he's run over hurdles in between.
Yeah, sure.
But he's a talented horse when they get him right. But he's very much a target horse because you have to give him gaps between his races so you can think, you can have a plan. But he's a fascinating horse. To beat Limini the way that he did was incredible. And he did it almost running into the Guinness tent as well. He's literally run as far wide as you possibly can imagine, which is a nightmare route at Galway.
Right.
Yes, it's the clearest run.
Yeah, sure.
But you're giving away ground. So if you gave away ground, he must have been 10 lengths behind Limini coming down the hill. He must have been 20 lengths behind the leader coming down the hill. And he's run 27 and change up the hill.
Yeah, very much
he's
looking
a, he's
forward.
He's a good horse, Urundale.
Yeah, very much looking forward to see where that pair go next. We'll turn our attention on to Wednesday's action now. Then got a couple of races at Goodwood to focus in on, starting with the opener, the 150, which is a handicap over 2.5 miles. And this race, as you might expect, littered with horses that have been over the obstacles as well. Talk about staying races that don't get much further than this on the flat, Andy. 2.5 miles, and Little Rockefeller likely to be the market leader. Another one similar to Limini in that it hasn't raced for a long, long time on the level. Best part of 4 years or something since we last saw it on the flat. Is a useful hurdler. They've booked Sylvester D'Souza as well. Plenty will be interested in this.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on what side of the fence you sit on here. You could look at it and say, well, the last time he ran on the flat, he was rated 76 and now he's rated 82. But that could be academic in the sense that he's now rated 150 for over hurdles. using the 40-pound rule, which differentiates flat horses with jump horses. I'm not particularly much of a follower of that particular theory.
Gives you a rough guide.
It gives you a rough guide. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, what you're saying then, if he's £40 land 53, should be 110 or something. Yeah, but so he's not a group. He's not a group two horse, is he?
Yeah,
all
yeah,
of a sudden.
Sure.
But it gives you some idea of how the thinking behind it is on that scale. I don't think he's running as well as he did the year before. I mean, his results tell you that. He was still running creditably. You know, the second behind Cornmilord towards the back end at Sandown was a good effort. And his run behind Old Guard in the National Spirit was a decent run. But he's just looked a little bit flat on occasions. He's certainly not in the same form as he was when he beat Lamy Surge
yep.
the year before at Ascot. So where we stand with him at the moment, it's hard to tell. Obviously, he hasn't had a run for a while. This has clearly been a target for a long, long way off. You wouldn't just think, oh, we'll give a little rock fellow run
sure.
in the middle of summer.
Sure.
He's obviously been in training for a while with this race in mind. Yeah, he could easily make a mockery of this mark of 82. And I'd imagine he'd be ridden fairly prominently because, the one thing he hasn't got is a turn of foot. He's just a relentless galloper. And it does pay to be handy at this track. But it looks quite a good Renault this year. You got last year's winner, Cool Sky, who comes here off the back of a win over hurdles at was it Aintree the other week?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You've also got Coeur de Lion, who has been a little bit looking at its last two runs. I've had a vested interest in this horse last two runs. I backed it at Ascot.
Yeah.
It finished sixth behind Lagos de Vegas in the Ascot Stakes. Didn't think it got a great ride by Harley that day, and he went everywhere on the track the other day at Newbury to try and get a run behind Stratum, who got first run, and he ended up running on strongly to finish third. He's got form on soft ground. He stays well. It's just whether maybe one run too many might be the just took the edge off of him.
Mm.
But he would probably be my choice because I think there's a good pot in him.
Yes.
And he deserves one of these after his last two runs. And he certainly hasn't got any Stratum or Lagos de Vegas technically in this race.
Sure.
He might have a little Rockefeller, but we don't know. We just don't know. So the prices I've got in front of me looks around about 5-1 generally. Then a little each way on Coeur de Lion to get the day after a start.
Yeah, Coeur de Lion in the 150 then. On to the 3 o'clock race, which is the first of the group races on the Wednesday. This is the Malcolm Stakes. Soldiers Call, the market leader for this one for Archie Watson and Danny Tudhope, obviously gave the trainer his first ever win at the Royal Meeting when last seen, winning the Windsor Castle. What are his chances, first of all?
First class. Mm. I actually backed Soldiers Call
right, okay.
At the Royal Meeting. Thought it was overpriced. And Julie got the job done. I was on air yesterday on the radio and was talking about the two-year-old races with Sean Quinn, because obviously they had Signora Cabello, who won the Queen Mary. And we were looking down all the horses that have run out of all the Ascot races subsequently, and we were ticking them off one by one. The standard and the winners that have come out of these Ascot races is quite incredible, all the way down to horses that finished last. For instance, you look at Soldier's Call's race. There hasn't been that many out of it, but the fifth horse, Tin Hat, ran well in the Super Sprint. Rockin' Roy, who was 7th, won yesterday. And then North Wind, who was 14th, won a maiden next time out at Nace. And there's also been, I'm sure there's been another winner somewhere down the line. Kezar, that won yesterday. That was 25th. It's quite incredible, the strength in depth in the two-year-old races at Ascot this year. The Coventry's another race where four or five winners have won since. The Queen Mary, that's chucked up a whole load of winners. So any horse that's won one of these races has certainly got to be highly considered when it comes and runs in, I think, to all intents and purposes, which is what a weaker renewal of the Malcolm than normal. I don't think it's as strong as the Norfolk by any stretch of the imagination. Archie Watson Searles are running really well. His team is running well. He seems to have got a good draw. He's fairly uncomplicated. You can just let him stride on. He sees the trip out well. I mean, he had a lot of horses away from him at Ascot. He actually had to row his own boat up the near side. He looked at halfway that he was behind as the camera went alongside the runners. So he's had to make up a lot of ground in the latter stages on his own without any help. So I think he's a fairly talented horse, Soldier's Call. He's certainly top of the speed figures I've got. So I'd be expecting him to win again. If there was a danger away from the obvious ones like Rumble in the Jungle and Queen of Bermuda, who also ran well at Royal Ascot, it would be Street Parade. who's owned by Tom Morley, of course, friend of the show.
Bolted up at Chepstow.
Absolutely. Eight lengths he won by, but his time figure was very, very good. It's one of those ones where I've got a almost like a pattern race time figure in a maiden.
Right, okay.
Or a novice race, which tells you that they're ready for a step up into pattern company. He beat Elscott Implicit the time before Lingfield, has won twice in, so that form stood up. He's a very fast horse, this. He's got good sectionals as well at Chepstow. The fact that he's gone downhill at Chepstow as well, I'll stand him in good stead. You know, it's a bit of an undulating track, isn't it? They go down up the hill and then back down again. Last two furlongs is downhill. So you have to be a well-balanced horse to run at Chepstow. It's almost as if Tom has deliberately run him at Chepstow. He's thinking, right, where can I acclimatise him? What's the nearest track other than Goodwood to get him to become accustomed to what he's going to face at Goodwood? And he obviously handled it with aplomb. So I would probably back the two against the field there. I'd probably have a good bet on the win, on the winner, Soldier's Call, horse, and the dangerous floater who could be anything, Spirit Parade.
Okay, it's a great point you make about those two-year-old races. We are going to have to wrap up in just a moment. Obviously, recording this before the Vintage Stakes on the Tuesday, and the race that Confining won on debut at Newbury in terms of races working out well, something like second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh, winners. And eighth of one since. So it is very much worth bearing that in mind. Thank you very much, Andy, and enjoy the action on Wednesday.
I thought it.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.